This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
It's Friday afternoon. The markets are closed, and most fields are way too soggy to harvest. So, turn up the volume, sit back, grab your favorite beverage. Let's have a conversation about what's happening in the markets.
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk. Today's guest is Dan Utek from the New Vision Group. And later on the show, we'll hear from USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue and his comments about a story saying he said dairy should get big or get out. We'll hear his version of the story later on. Now, the biggest of the big, Chip Flory.
What are you trying to say there, buddy? Be careful there, pal.
Take that however you want.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I will take it in a very positive mode because I'm in a pretty doggone good mood this afternoon.
Really?
Yes. Yep. You know, for tonight and postseason baseball, well, this afternoon and postseason baseball, there's all kinds of games going on, and all I have to do is enjoy them.
Enjoy one in particular.
It's the first time in 4 years that I haven't been like on pins and needles. I can just sit back and enjoy them. I kind of like this. Maybe this is why I'm a Cubs fan.
Well, you've had a century of practice on it.
That's not true. There were times in the postseason.
True. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just not, you know, the postseason. So, yeah. What a day. What a conversation with Secretary Perdue this morning.
Yeah, my head still hurts from trying to absorb all of this. It's been going back and forth about this big renewable fuels announcement and how they're going to handle the small refinery exemptions.
Yep. Yeah, I know it. That might be something that they want to think about considering before making an announcement like this in the future.
Yeah, in fact, Jim Wiesmeyer and I just got...
Include some more details.
Yes, Jim Wiesmeyer and I just got done trying to wade through all of that on the Signal to Noise podcast. So check that out later on today. In fact, we're going to include at the end of that podcast today, Chip, your full conversation with Sonny Perdue. So if folks missed it this morning and want to listen to Signal to Noise, they can just keep listening and hear that full interview.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. He was very giving of his time this morning. I appreciate that so much. And we did get to go on and address something else that the secretary has found himself kind of embroiled in this week, and that is a get big or get out comment that he was that he reportedly made earlier this week in Madison.
Emphasis on the reportedly.
Reportedly, yes, that he reportedly made earlier this week in at the World Dairy Expo in Madison. We heard, you and I heard the raw audio for the first time yesterday.
Yes.
And when
doesn't
you
match
and
the
I,
story.
Yeah. When you and I heard it, we were like, wait a second. Where is this get big or get out comment coming? It was hard to find it.
Those words were in there, but not in the way that was portrayed in the AP story.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's why we played the raw audio yesterday, so that everybody could hear it. Now, I asked Secretary Perdue about it this morning. We're going to have his response to that question in the final segment of today's show. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. What else is in the news?
Well, let's get to it. Wheat futures were mixed on the day, with winter wheat futures tethered to nearby unchanged levels, while spring wheat futures pushed moderately higher. Traders said increasing concerns over harvest conditions in North Dakota and the Canadian prairies provided support for spring wheat prices. In winter wheat futures, chart resistance at 492.5 in the December soft red winter wheat contract once again stopped an early season rally attempt. December hard red futures were 1.75 cents lower at 404 even. September soft red futures firmed a penny and 3/4 at 490.5. December spring wheat was 6.75 cents higher at 536.25.
You know, I'm disappointed by the way that the wheat market traded this week. I really am. We sold 130,000 metric tons of white wheat to China and didn't get much of a reaction. Now, there was a run-up leading up to it, and I've had a couple of people say, listen, that run-up that we saw, not this week, but last week, was in anticipation that we were going to see some increased sales or had made some sales, and then it just took some time to work through the system. I don't buy that. China was a surprise. China's buy was a complete to me, was a complete surprise. And to get basically no reaction from the wheat market, and I know it was a white wheat sale, but so what? It was a wheat sale.
It's still China making a move.
Yes, exactly, John. We get China in here buying beans, and we see a reaction from the bean market. A complete surprise wheat sale to China, and we get a meh reaction from wheat futures. That bothered me. I don't like the way the wheat market traded at all this week.
Is that anything to do with what some traders have said about price competitiveness of U.S. wheat?
Yeah, it does. It does. And every time the U.S. gets competitive, what do countries around the world do? They lower their price to undercut the U.S. and get that business back. So that could have something to do with it, too.
All right. Well, as we've been talking about, the Trump administration this morning announced a renewed commitment to the letter of the law, the renewable fuel standard, and a stepped up commitment to growing the market for E15. USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue told us this morning that the announcement should bring certainty to the ethanol industry that 15 billion gallons of corn-based ethanol will be blended in the nation's fuel supply again in 2020. The plan was praised by many commodity groups, but like so many plans coming out of Washington, the absence of some details market watchers hoped for resulted in less than enthusiastic response from the corn markets.
Yeah, and it's those details, and you know that's where the devil is. Everybody wants the details before we see a bigger response, and you know what? You actually need to see some of the margin come back into ethanol production, and some of that production come back in.
But a floor of 15 billion gallons ought to have some reaction, I would think.
Yeah.
I would think.
We're 30 cents off the lows.
Yeah, all right. Well, some traders also said pressure on corn prices also came from some pre-weekend harvest hedge pressure. Also, IEG Advantage, formerly Informa Economics, reportedly estimated the national average corn yield at 167.5 bushels an acre. That's just 0.7 of a bushel from below USDA September yield estimate. December corn futures were 4 cents lower at 384.75. March corn was down 3.75 cents to 397 even. May corn closed at 402.5, down 3.5 cents on the day.
If we get a 167.5 on Thursday in the crop production report, that's not going to be all that positive for corn prices either.
You're just full of good news.
I'm sorry. I'm telling the truth.
IEG Advantage also reportedly estimated the national average soybean yield at 46.5 bushels an acre. That's 1.4 bushels below USDA September bean yield estimate. Traders viewed that as a sign USDA's bean yield estimate will trend lower in next week's crop production report. Next week's trade talks between the U.S. and China also reportedly brought some optimism to the bean market today. November bean futures 4.5 cents higher, 9.16 1/4. January beans firmed 4 1/4, closing at 9.30 1/4. March beans 9.40 3/4, up 4 1/4 cents.
46.5 bushel national average bean yield would get a positive response out of the bean market.
Well, there's your good news. All right. Yeah. Thank you. And the bean growers, thank you. Light cash cattle trade at prices $2 to $3 above last week's trade did provide some support for front month futures, but with the October contract at a slight premium to the cash market, neither buyers nor sellers are showing any commitment to a position in futures. October cattle were 55 cents higher at 107.35. December cattle futures slipped a nickel, 110.77.5. October feeders were 37.5 cents lower at 141.97.5. And lean hog futures have been in consolidation mode for most of the week, and the consolidation continued today. October hogs 2.5 cents lower, 62.40. December hogs fell 85 at 62.75.
All right. Thank you so much, John. We'll talk to you at the end of the show.
All right.
The guy that is up next, I met him for the first time back in July. I was in Worthington, Minnesota. His name is Dan Utek, New Vision Co-op. We had a great conversation while I was in Worthington. Wanted to have him back on. We're talking Southern Minnesota cash markets up next. For the past 6 years, Syngenta has offered growers and ag professionals a chance to honor those who inspire them through the Rooted in Ag contest. This year's winner is Tammy Wiedenbeck of Lancaster, Wisconsin. Tammy focused her winning essay for the Rooted in Ag contest on her brother. Tammy, tell us about Doug.
My brother was always my role model growing up in agriculture, and he's one of the hardest workers I know. He's been there for me through thick and thin, and he's the one, he taught me how to drive a four-wheeler, and he taught me how to tie my shoes, and he deserves all the recognition in the world that he could ever get, and he's the reason part of the reason I'm rooted in agriculture.
As part of the contest, Syngenta is making a $1,000 donation in your brother's honor to a local charity or civic organization. Which group did you choose, Tammy?
I had a really hard time deciding this, so I asked if I could pick three. And the ones I picked were the Lancaster FFA Alumni, the Grant County Cattlemen's Association, and the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Foundation.
Hey, they're going to appreciate that money. Well, Tammy, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
It's just important that when people ask us questions about farming, that they trust us and that we're really trying to do a good job on the products that we're raising. So I think it's great that Syngenta's trying to share our story because everyone in this world, whether you want to admit it or not, are affected by agriculture.
Thanks, Tammy. You can read her full story and other Rooted in Ag stories at www.syngentathrive.com.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Thank you so much for joining us today. Corn slightly lower. Soybeans were slightly higher. Soybean meal worked to the upside. Bean oil was just slightly mixed. SRW futures slightly higher. HRW futures slightly lower. Moderate gains in spring wheat futures. Live cattle, feeder cattle, lean hog futures all work to the downside. No big moves in the livestock markets today. All right. Like I said, back, it was like July 23rd, 24th, something like that. I was up in Worthington, Minnesota, talking with Matt Widboom up there and this guy, Dan Utek from New Vision Co-op, Dan, I think New Vision is headquartered right there in Worthington, isn't it?
Actually, our main office is in Brewster, but our locations kind of go to Blue Earth to the South Dakota border, kind of right along Interstate 90, and then north up to Highway 14. So pretty good cross-section of southwest Minnesota.
Well, yeah, and how many locations?
I think we're at 17 right now. But
that's what I thought.
That may change tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right. You don't know for sure. But it covers think of the number of corn acres. Think of the number of soybean acres from Blue Earth to the South Dakota border and up to Highway 14. That is a chunk of corn and soybean acres up there, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, it is. You know, and this year has been really kind of an ironic year. You know, we normally plant everything up here. We don't know what fallow is, and this year with the prevented planted acres in our area, it's kind of odd when you are driving around in mid-September and you see field activity, but it's guys tilling prevented planted acres and turning stuff over and making it black. So a little depressing, but, you know, we go on and we just wait for 2020 to be better, I guess.
Right. Right, yeah, the old iron-based weed control is out there and at work. So when I was up there, I think it was either the night before or two nights before. It's two nights before. You guys had a heck of a wind come through.
And yeah, we did. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I've been back up through that area a couple of times, kept looking for the recovery, and some of that corn really didn't recover very well, did it?
Well, it recovered by laying down on the ground. You know, it's the green snap we had. We thought it was bad at first, but as this crop has tried to mature, you know, it hasn't gotten any better because the weather situation really changed. You know, we were too wet in April and May and didn't basically get anything planted hardly until that first week in June. And then the balance of June and July were okay. When you were up here, you know, I think we were okay on moisture. But then as we got into August, we got on the dry side. And actually to the point that the crop was starting to suffer pretty good here is that last week in August. And we were praying for a rain, but be careful what you pray for, because then from the week of September 9th, where I live up in Fulda, which is about 16 miles north of Worthington, from Sunday night until Wednesday of that week, we had 11.7 inches of rain. Yeah. And it really soaked things up to the point that we had a lot of standing water again. And then we just didn't have real good weather the last half of September. And then as we come into October this week so far, we've received about 1.5 to 2.5 inches through the whole area. Wow. With talk that this weekend we could get another inch. So the challenges continue for 2019, I guess, is bottom line.
Has anybody stuck their nose in and started to open up any fields?
There's a few on the soybeans, but, you know, I think if you look at the USDA crop progress report that we had this last Wednesday, I think you get a pretty accurate picture. They showed soybeans dropping leaves in Minnesota at 60%. You know, this week we've had really a lot of misty, cool days, lack of sunshine, not much wind. So I don't think that'll change. Maybe that jumps up to 70. But on the harvested side, they had Minnesota at 5%. Honestly, I don't know that we're 5% in our area. There's a little bit of few soybeans that have been taken out, but nothing to get a real good handle on what yields are or what we're looking at as we harvest this crop.
Right. What about the guys? I know that anything that you're going to hear about guys chopping corn is all going to be anecdotal, but have you talked to anybody that's done anything like that?
Well, yeah, there's some silage going up, but here's the issue. You know, our crop was planted, like I said, the majority of the corn went in the first 7 to 10 days of June. So it was, you know, 3 to 4 weeks behind normal. And what we're hearing from the guys shopping silage is we can't put it in the silo yet. Anything that's being taken up is being put in an outside bunker or just an outside pile because you have to have some place for the water to run. This stuff is very high moisture. And it's more roughage. It's more of a situation. You know, we have to start now because the calendar says this silage season should be over and we should be well into beans. So we've got to do it somehow. But, you know, as far as yields and stuff because of that, not anything really coming out, and no harvest at all as far as wet corn yet. You know, we're figuring that the moisture of the corn in the fields is still probably 35-40%.
Yeah, so there's still a little ways to go there before we can get in and get anything after it. Okay, so let's go back to that time when you and I first visited back at the end of July. And then even through the crop tour time, the message that I kept getting from growers along the way that third week of August was, yeah, they all wanted to talk about late planted corn crops going to have a hard time recovering, get its full yield potential back. But the other thing that they all wanted to talk about, Dan, was corn basis.
Yep.
And then lo and behold, we get to the grain stocks report on Monday, and we lose about 300 million bushels of corn. I mean, was that corn basis the stronger than normal corn basis that we were dealing with all season long? I mean, was that the market telling us that the corn isn't there?
Well, I think so, and especially when you look at the Eastern Corn Belt, and you know there were a lot of people really quite upset with the USDA because they said there's no way that the June stocks number could be right. And I think we had a little bit of confirmation. Unfortunately, you know, it really damaged prices as we went through the summer, but I think we're closer to reality. And I guess the good thing about this September stocks report, you know, and this is something we tend to forget about, but normally the September stocks report, which is the stocks null position on September 1st, a normal year, we have a fair amount of harvest going on prior to that. So we always have this question, is there new and old mixed up? This year, that ain't the case because there was no harvest going on September 1st. So maybe this is the first really true stocks number we've had in September for a long time.
Dude, why is this the first time I've heard this kind of sense? That makes all kinds of sense to me, Dan.
Well, I'm trying to share what I feel with Chip.
Attaboy. That makes a lot of sense. You know, just the simple fact that we don't have grain being harvested to commingle with the old crop supplies gives us a clear picture of what we've really got out there.
Yeah, and I'm not in the camp that says the USDA is wrong, their method is wrong. They do the best that they can do. But
sure.
There's things like this that a normal harvest year, when you've got harvest going on, you know, it's there's no way to keep it 100% separate. But I think that could be an answer to part of the questions. But you know, it really sets the groundwork for some potential, I think, on the corn side, because if we come into this report now with production on this Thursday report, and I heard your early comments about 167.5 not being a friendly number on corn. I'm gonna disagree with you on that.
Really?
Think if we see that trend starting, you know, I think this builds upon the stock surprise we had this past Monday.
Okay. All right. You know, I'm thinking, okay, how do we find the proof of what you were just talking about on the grain stocks report, and a lack of commingling gave us a better number? Unfortunately, wouldn't we have to wait for the Census of Ag report, and that doesn't come along until 2022.
Right.
But if they would not revise the 2018 crop, then that would suggest that, yes, we got a better picture of because of the lack of commingling of the crops. But
well,
don't you think there's still an attitude that they overestimated the 2018 corn crop?
Yeah, absolutely. But,
yeah.
But here's the other thing. If they do not revise that production number for 2018,
right,
that means the feed residual number was grossly understated, which would make sense in the fact that animal numbers have been higher the past year, and they try to take our feed usage down. So, you know, this could be a combination of a couple of things. But longer term, you know, that stock surprise on Monday sets the table for some potential in the corn market that 2 weeks ago we didn't think we had. So,
yeah,
it's all going to boil down to what's in the field.
Yeah. When you say that potential for this corn market, do you mean potential for the 2019 or for the 2020 or for both?
I'd say, well, to some extent, both. I mean, 2019 because, you know, we can sit here today and you can look at Informa's number, 95 million planted acres, and everybody says, oh, my gosh, that's just going to be terrible. We have to get there. And with the stocks number being a little bit smaller and not having an acre in the ground or this 2019 crop harvested, there's potential for a lot of surprises. So it could be friendly to 2019 crop. And if that happens, we know we're going to drag along 2020 to some extent.
Yeah.
But that's the importance of having a marketing plan, because if we get that opportunity, producers need to be looking forward and probably taking advantage of that.
All right. Good stuff, Dan. So far, we have talked about what the market has told us. When we come back, I want to get into what the market is telling us right now about what we should be doing on risk management for this 2019, maybe even the 2020 going forward.
A lot of things made this game possible. Practice, good weather, hot dog vendors, and believe it or not, crop nutrition. Smart crop nutrition, to be exact. For one person here, that's what made it possible to be at this game and to lose themselves in it. It came from Micro Essentials, a phosphate fertilizer from the Mosaic Company. It uses fusion technology to make a perfectly balanced granule that delivers season-long sulfur availability and uniform nutrient distribution. Every single plant in your field gets the ideal nourishment all season long. That means a healthier crop and higher yields. And it means a sense of security. A sense that things are going okay. And when you have that, you can have little moments like this, too. Experience your own with Micro Essentials. Talk to your retailer or visit microessentials.com to learn more.
Talks Tech Talk, Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson joins us now. Jeff, what's the market move that matters most today?
Hey, Chip. Today I'm looking at the hog market. Prices fell this week from eight-week highs reached on Monday. While the futures stalled, the CME Cash Index rose about $4, and the premium June futures 2020 traded above the December contract widened out almost $4 to near $25. Those are positive signals. December futures struggled to hold gains above the 100 and 200-day moving averages to start this week. As long as the cash market continues to move higher, the December futures should hold support in the $66 area. The key now is to close above 72.75, and that would ring the bell that likely a new change is coming to the upside.
All right, good stuff, Jeff. Thank you this week. I appreciate everything that you did. That's Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Lonely ghosts come a crawling. Lonely voices talking.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. We are talking with Dan Utek today. Dan is with New Vision Co-op up in southern Minnesota. I was just looking for my market recap. And wait a second. I think I know where it is. Okay. That's not it. Let's try this. Here we go. Let's recap how the markets closed today. December hard red futures were 1 3/4 cents lower at 404 even. December SRW futures firmed a penny and three quarters to 490 and a half. December corn futures 4 cents lower at 384 and three quarters. March corn down 3 3/4 cents at 397 even. November beans 4.5 cents higher, 916 and a quarter. January beans firmed 4 1/4 to close at 930 and a quarter. Beans had a good week, no question about that. October cattle 55 cents higher, 107.35. October feeders 37.5 cents lower at 141.97 and a half. And October hogs just 2.5 cents lower at 62.40. We are talking with Dan Utech today, New Vision Co-op. Give us a call. It's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us when you do. Make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. Okay, Dan, before we were talking about what the market has kind of told us leading up to this point, what's the market telling you right now about what we need to be doing for corn and soybean risk management?
Well, if a producer is still having ownership or has old crop corn in position right now, at least in southern Minnesota, we still have an inverted market. Now, in an inverted market, this nearby price is higher than the next month and the month after that. Yep. In an inverted market, what is the market telling us? It's telling us to sell now, because if you wait, you're going to get penalized. Our inverse right now for delivery this week and next week is 14 cents a bushel. In other words, we're at 384 cash corn for today and 370 on the 12th of October. The market's telling you if you got old crop grain, it's time to convert that into cash. You can buy an option, buy a futures contract back to re-own it if you think this market's going higher. But the basis is telling you to move that old crop grain now.
Yeah, I'm going to state the obvious to you, but that is completely driven by the cash market, because that's the opposite of what we see in the futures market.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a sign, once again, are the stocks there? And you know, when we talked in July, Chip, this was pretty much uniform across southern Minnesota, northern Iowa. Everybody was at positive basis levels, and corn was extremely tight to buy. Now, as we get closer to harvest, you're gradually seeing this inverse come out of the market. In fact, if we go back and look at our bids just probably 7 days ago, our basis for nearby corn was 5 over the December. Now it's 5 under. So that, you know, that's a 10-cent basis move just as we get closer to harvest. And we see that with local ethanol plants, where they were all extremely positive basis in July, and now we're down to maybe one or two that are still positive, and some are getting closer to an even basis or even going negative now, because corn hopefully will become more available in the next couple of weeks here.
Okay, so we've softened up basis from where we were in July, but compared to the three-year average, five-year average, whatever you want to go with, basis is still at a firm level in your area, right?
Absolutely. You know, our new crop basis for corn off the combine is 19 under the December right now. Most years, guy would say, oh my gosh, you know, well, that's excellent, because a year ago it was probably 50 to 55 under.
Right.
So it's a huge opportunity. And, you know, can it get better? That's the million-dollar question. You know, we have producers that say, well, if we're 19 under the December today for gut slot of harvest, what does that mean? Where are we going to be in December or January if the farmer decides not to sell corn? And that's a valid concern, because this basis could – I don't think we're going to go back to the levels we've seen in July – but this basis could be firm if the American farmer says, no, my yields were down. I feel there's potential in this market, and I'm going to hold on to this corn, you know, and that can definitely drive this basis as we go forward into 2020.
Right. And where you started that comment there on was, can this basis get better or does it hold the same? That's going to determine what you're going to do with this market, because we do have your DEIS futures at just call it 384, your May futures at 402, you got a 16, 17 cent premium out to the May. Do you need to do something that's going to try to capture that carry, Dan, or do you just take the front month market and move it?
No. In fact, You know, that's what we wanted to talk about. You know, if you have old crop stuff, we'll just review that quickly. Inverted market, you sell now. What the futures market is showing us, and actually the cash market too, is showing us a carrying charge market from new crop forward. So if I look at that same analogy here and look at our new crop cash price of $370 off the combine for October, November, and compare that to next August of 2020, I see a 25 cent premium, $395 for next August. So we're getting close to that $4 area. What the market's telling you in a carrying charge market like that, if you have on-farm storage to sell the carry, so in other words, don't worry about the 370. You might say, that doesn't work in my cash flow. Well, this 395, it works a lot better. You sell the carry, put it in the bin at home, and then all you have to do is manage the condition. For that 25-cent carry, you can easily borrow the money at the bank and pay yourself the storage that the market's offering you.
Yeah, that's okay. Excellent, Dan.
Make sense?
Yes, absolutely. That makes sense to me. Run me through the same process on soybeans.
Well, the soybeans, it's interesting because there's a friend of mine that likes to use a phrase. He said, you know, if it smells like bad cheese, you've probably got bad cheese, right? And the soybean basis right now, 82 under the November. I mean, that to me is bad cheese. That smells, right? But the fact of the matter is we're coming off of a year that we had to carry out in the current crop, you're almost a billion bushel. Too many beans. That's why the basis has been that wide. What's changing now? Well, we've got a glimmer of hope. We've had the Chinese come in, pretty aggressive buyers. If they take these beans in October, November, December, if we find that this crop is maybe not 49, maybe it's 46, maybe it's 45, all of a sudden the supply gets tighter. You know, I think there's some opportunities. But when we look at soybeans that same type of way and look at the nearby cash soybean price, right now we're at 834 on yesterday's close. If we look at that same comparison to next August, it's 876. We're talking a 42-cent carry out there from off the combine to next August. What is the market telling a producer to do? Once again, if you have on-farm storage, you sell the carry. And here's what's going to happen if enough people do that and the market does that. All of a sudden, we have this demand to China to fill on the export side in October, November, December. We've got decent crush margins at our crush plants. Once harvest is over, and if the farmer isn't an aggressive seller, what's going to happen to that nearby basis in November and December and January?
It's
going to come in where it won't be quite such, but the bad cheese won't be quite as bad, right?
Excellent. And that will make you look that much smarter for capturing the carry that's available in the futures market.
Absolutely.
Because you capture all of that basis appreciation.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. You know what, and I remember, I hate to admit this, Matt or Chip, but I've been in the business for almost 40 years. I remember a year about 20 years ago where we came into the first part of November and the soybean basis was just kind of, oh, kiss your sister. It wasn't good at all. And all of a sudden, harvest was over. We seen some export demand come in. And in like 2 weeks' time, that basis improved 15 to 20 cents. So it can be fairly dramatic. It doesn't mean you're going to have to store these beans until next August, but you have to wait for the market to tell you now's the time to move.
Exactly. Good stuff, Dan. Good stuff. Okay. What are you watching next week?
Next week, well, you said you don't care about the baseball playoffs. Do you realize the Minnesota Twins are playing the Yankees tonight?
I mean, are they really?
We got to see if they take that next step forward, right?
It's not that I don't care. I just said that I can just sit back and enjoy it. I'm a big baseball fan. I'm going to enjoy the Twins.
Yeah. And the Cubs will have their day someday. But I guess there's one other thing before we leave the market. One other thing I just want to kind of leave producers to think about as they're out in the combine and stuff, you know, because I like to look at history because I believe history repeats itself and we can learn a lot from history. And what I see when I look at a monthly continuation chart of December corn futures, without exception, Chip, every year we get the opportunity to sell 415 or higher December futures in Chicago. In fact, if you look the last few years in 2019 in June, 473, May of 2018, 429, July of 17, 417, July of 16, 449, July of 15, 454, July of 14, 460. You see, we always get a chance, but it usually comes so quickly that we miss it if we're busy. So I'd encourage producers to get a plan together and to get some orders in, place them ahead of time, place them now, because you know what? If we plant 95 million acres in 2020, we ain't going to have these prices when we get to a year from now, are we? So
that's right.
You know, we have to
that's
be
right.
ready. The good Lord gives us the opportunity every year. We have to take be there ready to take advantage of it.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we just now had a question come in on Twitter. It's from at Daring Tanner. Is there any soybean yield that dramatically moves price, or is it going to take consecutive years to use the stocks on hand?
See, I think with not only did we have a surprise on the corn stocks on Monday's report, we had a surprise on the bean stocks.
Bean stocks.
In fact, you know, the yield reduction and that change in production took 116 million bushel out of soybeans and they disappeared. And all of a sudden now, this billion bushel carryout is down the last USDA report to about 640. With that change in Monday stocks report, we could be down to 500. I think now if we see this national average corn or soybean yield get in that 45 bushel area, we got some potential, because all of a sudden this carryout is going to go from a billion bushel last year to possibly under 500.
Yep.
That's still not a friendly number on its own, but it gives us potential.
Dan, I sure enjoyed this. Thank you so much. You have a good weekend. We'll do it again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Chip.
All right. That is Dan Utak, New Vision Co-op up in southwest Minnesota. John Harith is going to join me. We're going to have more of the conversation with Sonny Perdue next on AgriTalk.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
and try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
When you're really hungry, sometimes only the leftovers can fill you up. We're serving up a big portion of Tuesday's meatloaf right now on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Got John Harrith back with me.
Yo.
Yeah. Hey, before we get to the comments from more of the comments from Sonny Perdue, I want to read this quick. This is from House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson from Minnesota. He says, next week the president is expected to be in Minnesota, and I look forward to hearing details about how his EPA will get back to the 15 billion gallons that are promised in law and address the 4 billion gallons lost in waivers that have already been granted. Until we have answers to those questions, today's announcement is just another IOU to struggling farmers and shuttered biofuel plants. Yeah. I think he's going to be disappointed waiting for the details of how the 4 billion gallons and lost waivers are going to be dealt with, because the conversation that we had with Sonny Perdue
said they aren't going to deal with them.
Yeah, said, you know, that's in the past. Let's look forward.
Yeah,
those blending obligations are gone. Let's build E15.
Now, I will say that at least in the description today, they will be partially dealt with. Probably right. When you take the 3-year average to right. Determine the boost for the next year's volume obligations.
Exactly. All right. The final question that I asked Secretary Perdue went off topic of the RFS. I want to get into that right now. Let's go ahead and roll that. Mr. Secretary, I feel like I need to switch gears and go off topic for one last question for you. Sure. Earlier this week, you were in Madison at the World Dairy Expo and made yourself available to the press, which you do all the time, which is awesome.
Right. Yeah.
You made some comments about the efficiencies in the dairy industry and business in general, and at least one media outlet turned it into a get big or get out statement by USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue. That did not set well with many farmers, and especially a group of cattlemen that were meeting over in Omaha. What do you want to say to those that believe that you delivered a get big or get out message?
I think what I would ask them to do is go back and look at the whole transcript of the remarks. In fact, the dairyman who was moderating that event asked if he could send out an op-ed to the Wisconsin media, and we'd welcome him to do that. But this was after my remarks there, a reporter, one of those reporters that already had their story written, he phrased the question in a way that get the quote to get the answer he wanted. What I was expressing during that period of time, that every farmer knows there's been consolidation, and whereby my dad put two kids through college on 318 acres in middle Georgia. That's difficult to do these days. We know that. And the economy of scale with the capital investment there, that was the point that was being made. It was not a get big or get out kind of mandate. It was just the reality that it is tough to make it in the dairy business milking 40 or 50 cows these days unless you just have a heart for dairy. And by golly, bless your heart if you do. I want to encourage those people who do that. But this is not the message it took away, and other people picking up this story was not a admonition for me to get big or big out, the get big or get out, because the as we know, in a capitalistic American economy, we see consolidation in a lot of industries, and people know it, whether we like to recognize it or not. We know that is occurring in agriculture. While we've seen a lot of people go out in the dairy business, what you also know is that most of those cows have been bought by neighbors who get bigger herds in that
change
way.
Change that address.
And the same way with land and crop production. The neighbors, that's the reason we've not seen land values go down, because farmers are still optimistic for a better day, and you've got other farmers buying this crop land and continuing to produce very productively across the United States. So the message that's been trying to be portrayed, and me telling people that and others sort of pick it up, is nothing more than political tampering with a message and trying to make me and this administration look like we're not compassionate to the economic issues that are out there. That's absolutely wrong. If you look at my whole content, the context of my statements that day, you'll understand the empathy that I have for making it today, especially in the dairy business. Over the last 4 or 5 years, and the former farm bill has been tough. It's been really tough. But the good news is, under this administration, this farm bill, dairymen, I think, for the first time in a few years, have a real optimism about going forward, what can happen with their risk management. So these smaller herds have a better shot now than they had the last 5 years.
Yeah. Now, John, I want to address what I know some people are thinking right now. You know, I was ready to jump on this Sonny Perdue said get big or get out bandwagon. I think if you go back and listen to some of the initial comments following that, when the word first got out, I was right on the edge of jumping all over it. But when I heard the raw audio, it's like Wiesmeyer said this morning, it's just so disappointing. It's just so disappointing that members of the media will take what was so far from a get big or get out comment and turn it into that.
Well, he was recognizing the market reality, saying what the market realities are, not saying that that's what he thinks should happen. And it was really not presented that way in the AP article.
No, it was not. Again, thank you to Brian Winnikins up at WRDN up in Durand, Wisconsin, for sending us the raw audio from that conversation with Secretary Perdue that happened earlier this week. I think it was really important to get out. And, you know, the bad thing is, John, think of all the discussion that happened among the cattlemen over in Omaha that was all focused on the, did you see what Perdue said?
Yeah, and energy wasted on that.
The energy wasted on that. That is exactly right. You know, and again, you know, I don't believe that he believes that. But even if he does, that's not what he said.
Right.
Okay? We got to.
And we'd be the first ones to call him out if he did.
Absolutely. You guys all have a great weekend. Thank you to Dan Utek. We got Machinery Pete on Monday morning.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit TryProFarmer.com right now. That's TryProFarmer.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make...
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.